everybody. It is time for an incomparable members bonus, another commentary track. This time we're going to be talking while watching Back to the Future. I am Jason Snell. You should probably know that if you are paying money to the incomparable. And joining me to talk about this movie are the following fine people. Gene McDonald joins us. Hi, Gene. It was surprise. We're doing a commentary track. I said before we started, high degree of difficulty, but I know you're up for it. This is like lots of weird levers that we have to pull to get everybody synced up. But I'm glad you're here.
Well, I'm glad to be here, too. And this is super nostalgia for me. I remember exactly where I was when I saw this in the theater.
All right. Excellent. Me, too. Aline Sims is also here. Hi, Aline.
Great Scott.
Great Scott, Marty.
Steve Lutz, as best as I can do.
Steve Lutz is here, too. Steve, it's the Libyans.
I am here, yes. Oh, no, the Libyans! Ah! Please, Jason, please don't pull my weird sync lever until I tell you I'm ready.
All right. And David J. Lohr is here. I owned this soundtrack on cassette. How about you, David?
I owned the soundtrack, and I had the novelization, which I read before I saw the movie. Because it came out before the movie.
Novelization of the soundtrack?
Yes.
Yes,
that
actually.
Sounds good.
And then Alan Silvestri played this song.
Alan Dean Foster, mm-hmm. as told by Alan Silvestri.
All right, so here's how these work, everybody. This is the... we're going to tell you where you need to pause your movie, which is when you start the movie and the Universal Pictures logo disappears, and the next thing you see is Steven Spielberg Presents. That will appear on the screen. As soon as you see Steven Spielberg's name begin to fade up, Steven Spielberg Presents, press pause.
What's really cool is in the novelization, it actually said, and here is where it would say Steven Spielberg Presents. Mm-hmm. Kind of weird, but you know.
So get it there. And then when we tell you, then you press play there. And that is when we are going to all press play together. And we're going to watch a movie together. This is how this works, I think. This is vaguely how I remember it. Anyway, Steven Spielberg presents. Go pause this podcast, get it queued up to the right place, and then come back and press play, and we will tell you when to press play on the movie. Now, remember, if you're using any podcast app like Overcast, where it shortens things, something like Smart Speed, you need to turn that off or you will lose sync with this immediately. You also need to play this back at 1x speed. So be sure before you get started, you've got all of the special sound changing stuff turned off so you can stay in sync.
And then you can snuggle under the blanket with all of us.
That's right.
I mean, that's how we're recording it. So.
Except for Steve.
Watch out for the sink
lever. I've
been
banned from the blanket.
You got to be in a separate blanket, mister.
That's fine.
All right.
I earned it.
Okay, here we go. We're going to watch Back to the Future, and we're going to press play now. Hey, Steven Spielberg Presents. I was just talking about that.
Hey, if you could see me right now, you'd see that I'm staring off into the middle distance with my eyes really wide and my mouth open.
Mm-hmm. Funny.
That's normal, right?
I'm just looking at the credits.
Of ticking clocks.
Ticking clocks.
I like it when a movie has a logo for its title. That's marketing.
Right?
That's solid marketing.
You know what's impressive is that the logo matched the marketing, which doesn't always
That's
happen.
True.
There's not even an orchestra sting on that logo, which is subtlety. It's a lost art.
I forget how quiet the opening of this is. You're so used to like cinematic swells or whatever, not the ticking of clocks.
Oh, Harold Lloyd is hanging
clock.
From a clock. Oh!
Harold Lloyd.
Could that be foreshadowing?
No, nothing.
Nah.
Felix the cat?
Felix, the wonderful, wonderful cat.
Ooh. Hill Valley News.
It's exposition.
Brown Estate sold it to developers. Prime real estate.
Thomas Edison. Ben Franklin. Albert Einstein. Subtle. Burger King
product placement. I prefer to go to Waldorf Honda.
All 1985 Toyotas. I like that. They get the date without actually showing the date.
Better get your booties because it's cold outside. Oh, wait.
Huey Lewis in the news in the credits. Come on.
Yeah, that's intense.
They had a good agent.
I never noticed the Denver Broncos clock.
''1980s news looked exactly like this.
''1980s hairdo.
Yeah, she's got the shoulder pads too, as she should.
1980s toast looked exactly like that.
Yeah. If you started it in 1975.
Tick, tick, tick.
Oh, I love this part.
Remember Calcan?
I remember Calcan.
I think the rest of this track should just be, remember Calcan?
Remember products.
Remember Kodak and Stamatics? Remember Libya?
Yeah.
Oh.
Ed McMahon endorsed Alpo, not Calcan.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. Calcan was like off-brand Alpo.
Calcan theme.
Well, that worked.
Performed by Huey Lewis in the news. Oh, this is such a Robert Zemeckis shot. The long tracking shot to open the movie. And waiting to reveal, this is a very Robert Zemeckis kind of thing. I know this is a Spielberg production, but this is Zemeckis just to a T.
Plutonium. Where are we here? And we know the Brown Mansion has been sold, the ancestral home, but is this just somewhere in the suburbs? I'm not sure it's ever established.
This is Doc's house. Yeah, it's somewhere in, I think it's in Hill Valley somewhere.
Hmm.
Nice fake out here, right? This is all about nuclear science and plutonium, except it's these damn kids with their rock and roll.
I like the label maker labels.
It always bothered me it didn't make that noise.
This bothers me too. Yep. Yeah. As a guitar player, you would never do what he just did.
No.
Nope.
He would have blown the amp already.
No, it would just blow out. That would have blown out his ears and his amp right there.
Oh, that
buzzing. And ours.
Even if you were young and foolish.
Robert Zemeckis, everybody.
Memorex.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ah, the visual gag.
And that's the end of the movie. He's dead.
Oh. That was great.
Let's get in a new guy.
In the future.
That's how Eric Stoltz died.
Whoa.
That's your lead character. He's a
rock
genius. The J stands for genius.
Did you know the J doesn't stand for anything?
No.
Yeah.
There was already a Mike Fox in the Actors Guild, right?
Yep. Now I'm glad to say both of the boys recognized when we watched this that this is a really strange relationship between these two. That's how did they meet? What's going on?
They aren't really talking about an amplifier, are they?
Hey, more Burger King.
That is a really long phone cord.
Now, is this legit product placement, or are we just placing ourselves firmly in the 1985 time frame here by having Burger King
wrappers? Oh, it's almost
certainly that. We needed it back then.
Product placement wasn't really a thing then.
No, it was.
I think Burger King
was beginning.
Reese's Pieces was
the
totally
earliest
product placement.
Serious one, yeah. It's about time.
Hey, it's Huey Lewis and the News. I heard they have a song in this movie.
Indeed. Rock and roll.
This is your your traditional movie opening, Aline, right?
Exactly.
We finally got it.
This song is too loud.
That's dangerous, kids. Don't tailgate.
Okay, that's probably product placement.
On your skateboard.
See, that's what it was. It wasn't product placement. It was just right there.
It just happened.
Kids, after this movie, run right out and get some gas at Texaco.
Hey!
And
remember Jazzercise?
The placement of these cars is awfully convenient.
A totally inappropriate montage here, except, right, it's actually serving the important point of getting you modern-day Hill Valley geography.
Mayor
Goldie Wilson sign. Because we got to have this so that we can then have the contrast when they
go
back in
crappy
time.
And graffiti
spoilers.
Covered.
I hope this is not the first time anybody out there is watching Back to the Future. It's a bad idea.
Remember graffiti?
Yes.
Graffiti Bridge, the less liked Prince movie.
Hey, James Tolkien. One of those, hey, it's that guy.
Yeah.
Guys.
Everybody who was alive in the 80s knows how much high school principals just hated Michael J. Fox.
Wasn't James Tolkien in Top Gun, too?
I think so.
I think he's one of the grizzled Navy guys who doesn't like that Tom Cruise and his hot dogging. He's a slacker.
I mean, really, it's sort of slacker. Like a separate subhead of "Hey, it's that guy." It's "Hey, it's that asshole," because you've got William Atherton is in there and James Tolkien is in there, and
the Ferris Bueller guy.
Jeffrey Jones. Yeah.
We do not speak of him. It's nice that they could find so many actors the same height as Michael J. Fox for that scene.
Oh.
Hey, it's Huey Lewis.
Huey Lewis.
Hey, remember Huey Lewis?
Yeah.
Nope.
Remember when there was a time that you could put Huey Lewis in a movie as a cameo and people would go, hey, it's that's Huey Lewis. Lewis.
Yeah. Hey, remember hair bands?
I saw Huey Lewis at Supercuts once. True story.
You know, I remember Super seeing cuts. This in the theater. That quick cameo of Huey Lewis killed.
Oh, it's wacky. They're playing Huey's song.
I know.
Badly.
We just heard it.
He is unimpressed.
Yeah. Okay, I want a new drug.
You guys are walking on a thin line with this music.
If this is it, please let me know.
Hey, Goldie Wilson.
In case you didn't get it before.
Yes.
Hey, Statler Toyota. I've heard good things about them.
Mm. Remember Statler Toyota?
Oh, the classic blue California license plate.
Remember Pintos?
That's a Honda.
Hey, it's the
remember
80s.
Headbands?
There's jogging and aerobics. And
hey, it's Udwill.
What is this place
books?
That's got the adult books right downtown? I always...
spandex. Right?
It's like 80s Times Square in New York, except in a small town, which doesn't make any sense to me. What is this, Portland?
Isn't that right
I don't
by the
think
school?
So.
Hill Valley is very compact. You've got to put the porn stores right next to the schools.
Oh, there's the more Toyota product placement.
And Zales. We just got a Zales product placement, too. No clock tower in the background.
But it's broken, right?
I'm sure that won't come into play anywhere down the line.
No.
I think
no.
It could mean something. Remember 2-hour parking meters?
This movie is like Chekhov's every immediate detail.
Mm-mm. Yeah. Well, okay, so here's the thing, right? The bulk of this movie takes place in the 50s, and so this time is really precious in terms of setting up not just the movie, but setting up the town, because the whole point is that the town is so different in the 50s, so we've got to, in very small amounts of time, we've got to try to establish as much as possible.
You laugh about that adult bookstore being right downtown, but that's just quick shorthand for how run down and crappy everything has gotten in the 80s.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Yeah, it's... One of the things I love about this is that it is so well thought out, not just as a plot, but details like that and how economical the exposition is.
Save the clock tower. It seemed extraneous at the time, but it will turn out to be important.
And here's that piece of paper he's going to stick in his pocket.
What's his button? Does anybody know what that is?
It looks like a sailboat of some kind. Is he enrolled at Full Sail? Was that around in 1986?
He really likes some yacht rock.
That's right. It's Christopher Cross sideways there.
Yeah.
Hey, it's an adult theater on the other side.
Orgy American style on the movie marquee in the background. Enjoy, everybody.
Does Marty not know what her dad looks like? This is the first time they've met. It's my
orgy
dad.
Orgy American style. Redder than the red, white, and blue.
Red, white, and blue.
Oh, wow.
All the fireworks.
Orgy American style.
It's me and you and her and her and him and that guy and her and me.
Oh, the graffiti on the Lion Estates. You misspelled Lion, too, by the way.
Well, what a mess. What is wrong with these times we live in?
Man, remember tow trucks?
It's the power of... Oh, sorry.
No, it's over. Huey's moment is over.
He'll be back in the end credits, I predict.
Just perfect.
Guys, remember Crispin Glover?
Nope.
Crispin Glover, yes.
Oh, Crispin Glover. I just saw him. He was in American Gods.
Oh.
Yeah.
What's
He's
that
still now? Weird.
singing about clowns.
Crystal decanter full of M&Ms. They have a bird.
House shaped a birdhouse. Mm-hmm. Bird cage, rather.
Oh, man. Cathode ray tubes.
Hey, remember big TVs?
Yeah.
Hello, McFly.
Hello.
Hey, McFly.
Casting this movie was really hard because you needed to get some people who could be at least vaguely plausibly aged up and aged down. And it's really hard to do. You're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't. I think they did a pretty good job with this. Oh, yeah. It's not perfect, but I think they did with Biff and Marty's parents. I think they did a pretty good job.
I think these two guys fare pretty well. Leah Thompson maybe a little less.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like her aged down.
Sure. It's just aged up she does appear much more makeup-y than Tom Wilson does here as Biff.
Well, that close shot in there wasn't too hot, actually. No. Tom.
And what's great is they aged Michael J. Fox up for this.
You know, it sort of works for him, though, because he's basically, you know, frozen in his 18s, 19s. So the fact that he looks young kind of works, maybe.
He was still on Family Ties when they did this, right?
Yep. Yep.
If you weren't around in the 80s and you're looking at the set design and the clothing in this movie, this is actually fairly accurate stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, you know, I think that's, oh, it really is. I think the story with Family Ties is that when they fired Eric Stoltz and replaced him with Michael J. Fox, one of the problems, Pepsi product placement, by the way, he was doing Family Ties. So there were stories about how he would literally just go from one set to the other and was getting no sleep or 2 hours of sleep because he agreed to do it. It was a great part. He had to do it. And he also had his show. So
yeah.
I mean, sitcom, you know, they probably only shot one night. I mean, I think it was studio audience, so they probably had one night a week where he had to do that, but then he'd go back to the movie.
I mean, he was the original choice for the role, but Family Ties wouldn't let him go because Meredith Baxter was pregnant and having kids, and so they couldn't.
Now, the surest sign that we're in the 1980s, Wendy Jo Sperber.
Yay! Yeah. Bud Light product placement there, too. We all drank out of cans. That was a thing.
Is that a Casio watch?
Probably.
Yeah, the brother and sister don't get... They're like single note joke
Uncle
characters,
Joey.
Right? It's just like, we need to see them now, so we see them later. And so that they disappear on photographs. It's important for them.
The great thing about this particular house in terms of the set design is that whereas you would normally see a slightly more modern version of the 1980s house, this house has a lot of holdovers from the late 70s in terms of the lamps. The chairs are still, you know, flowery, crappy looking chairs. This looks like
tumblers.
A house where they couldn't afford to update them.
Yeah, that's totally it.
The lamp.
The decor.
And there's a practical reason for it, right? Because then when it gets refurbished by time travel at the end of the movie to be ultra-mod, you know, ultra-mod mid-80s. So this, you're right, Steve. That's exactly right. That this is the kind of old 70s stuff that's now out of fashion.
Everything's orange and brown still.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
Oh, we had an avocado kitchen in the 70s.
Oh, there's one of those lamps that looks like a bunch of lit up megaphones in the background in one place.
Yeah, they still got all the avocado here, and they have not had the budget to upgrade to the Harvest Gold that was
the giant pepper mill
appropriate in the 80s.
The macrame, the phone sitting on a stack of phone books, which is a nice touch.
You got to keep them somewhere.
Hey, Aline, remember the 80s?
A little.
No.
I remember some of the 80s.
Hey!
All right.
Remember the Honeymooners?
That's okay. We'll all be at sea when the 50s come around, right?
I'm like, I have no commentary on decor here. I don't know.
Diet Pepsi free.
Mm. People did have phone books in the 80s still.
Totally.
I mean, yes. Oh, we did. Yeah.
We had push-button phones, but we still had
Oh, Marty.
Phone books.
Oh, look at that.
Caramellos unwrapped next to his cordless phone.
Now, see, that's a little weird. If you could afford to have a Rome phone, it was the house phone.
Yeah, totally.
It wasn't just in your room.
Although he might have gotten it on his own. Yeah. Hey, it's a Huey Lewis poster.
It might be his own phone.
They're really pushing this Huey Lewis guy.
All right. Here we are. Twin Pines Mall. Totally important that it's Twin Pines Mall because there's a joke later.
J.C. Penney, apparently I'm related to. It's Aline trivia.
Really? That's a Fox photo mat there. Hey, it's Einstein, the dog.
It's Einstein.
The guy who plays the dog is great.
It's really hard to imagine them reshooting all this a
Spielberg
second time.
Camera move. Well, they didn't shoot everything, right? There was just like a week of shots with Eric Stoltz.
No, they had 5 weeks of shooting.
Five weeks with Eric Stoltz. Good Lord.
So probably a scene like this. In fact, I think this is in the clips of Eric Stoltz.
So the DeLorean.
Look at that.
Nice.
People now think about this movie when they think about the DeLorean, and it's all iconic and all of that. And I just want to point out again, for those who didn't live through the 80s, this is a joke. Mm-hmm. Yep. The worst car possible is the car that Doc Brown has turned into a time machine, because the DeLorean was a failure. It was hand-built, and it was a flop, and they didn't sell very many, and John DeLorean ended up going to jail.
And now my husband still looks for DeLoreans. He wants one so bad.
I know. Well,
I see one every once in a while driving down the highway.
I do too. Thank you, Back to the Future, mm-hmm. basically.
Yep.
It's great. I mean, it's the movie prop people, right? Movie prop people are always looking for like weird, real products that they can make into weird props. And this, the DeLorean is the weirdest of weird, real products to use as a time machine.
If this had been set in 1975, you'd have been looking at a Pacer.
Yeah, nobody wants that. And then they'd be traveling to 1945, and like the war would still be going on. And
yeah,
that's no good. Nobody wants that.
It is a cool looking car. I got to give that to John DeLorean. It's the closest thing to a real Batmobile that there was at the time.
Yeah,
and it was stainless steel, right? Like the body, mm-hmm. which is mind boggling.
Gull wings are cool.
I remember...
Ask Elon Musk.
I remember always being very worried about Einstein, you know, when I was watching this. I was little, you know. Right.
Oh, well, no, he's like Laika the dog. Well, he'll be fine. He'll come back.
His mind was an experiment, and it's like, oh my God, what if it doesn't work? Very sad.
Yeah.
He is the first time-traveling creature in history.
Oh my God, you're right. Doc Brown is a monster. I've been watching this movie wrong all these years.
Yeah.
What a jerk. And the dog hasn't been fed in days either. That Calcan's been piling up.
Every time I watch this movie, because I was one of those kids who I had a video camera and we made videos and stuff when I was in elementary school and high school. And I have to say it, Michael J. Fox's camcorder technique here is not acceptable. He like keeps looking over to Doc
just
and dropping the
around.
Camcorder and stuff. It's like, but look at the eyepiece, Marty. Come on. Why are you there?
History, you got to keep a hand up there to steady that thing, too, because it weighs about 50 pounds.
It's very wiggly with it.
Yep.
I hope he's got it on the 2 hour speed.
This also seems unwise, this placement.
Yeah,
I trust the crazy old man that's subjecting his dog to experiments.
But then it's not going to run us over.
Doesn't flinch.
That's a cool shot.
The fire appeared in different places each shot.
Yes, it did. Todd Vaziri, I think, has done a bunch of tweets about the way that they put that shot together.
Look, you guys just don't understand time travel, that's all.
The license plate. This is important to understand the concepts of how the time travel is going to work in the movie. And I think for audiences, I feel like even now, regular audiences have been drenched in time travel stories over the years, not just people like us, but like even regular movie audiences. But at the time, I feel like this was really important to explain like fundamentals of time travel. He disappeared. Now he's going ahead and now he'll reappear. And it's important to lay out all the rules here so that you understand what the hell happens in the rest of the movie.
Well, and there are very specific rules for this story.
Sure.
Right? It has to be 88 miles an hour, that kind of stuff.
You build a time machine?
See?
Right? DeLorean. And it's got to have the right kind
of
power.
That's a laugh line, and it killed back in the day.
It is, because of all things. And that's where the movie ends. They get run over by Einstein.
Who is a corpse at this point?
Einstein didn't really have to be in that car, right? Just a watch had to be in that car.
Yeah.
Well, he wants to prove that that doesn't happen to living creatures, yeah. Which is
and
why
also
he's a monster.
Hates that damn dog.
He does.
Just like the Soviets.
He is
great,
tired
Scott,
of
I hate that
Cal
dog.
Can.
Oh. Why did I even get a dog, Marty?
I've made a huge mistake,
person.
Marty.
You've seen the crap piling up at my house. At the mansion, I didn't notice. I had so many rooms. One room was just for Calcan, Marty.
Just for crap and Calcan.
Fuck.
It's cold.
That's why they called it the Brown Mansion. My name is Smith.
Einstein.
Einstein's fine. He's fine.
He's fine.
I'll have to find another way to kill him, Doc Brown.
This proves nothing.
it just proves your battery is off.
Yeah. Highly irregular.
I love that they happen to look at the exact moment that they both change. That's very slick.
But I have to say, the TV show Quantum Dog, way better than this.
That's how it works. It's a very good user interface for time travel. Mm-hmm.
And clearly labeled.
He's a professional math scientist.
Now, would that have been a great movie? Let's go to July 4th, 1776.
I want to see the musical version of that.
Or December 25th, 0000.
Oh, Chris, that's...
Yes.
Oh.
Look at this random date I've picked, Marty.
It's not important. Let's move on. Oh, no. I guess we're going to get some exposition.
It took 30 years for him to get his time travel into... practice.
And then I also invented time travel.
The oscillation overthruster.
I call this the jet car.
That's his backstory, as he sold off the mansion and everything else to build the time travel machine.
To buy the plutonium mostly. Mm-hmm.
Well, the most expensive thing was the DeLorean, because it was already a collector's item by then.
No,
I think they were cheap to begin with, were they?
Pick one up at the junkyard.
That's where he got that dog, too.
Aww.
That's like the 15th Einstein.
Well, because they keep eating the plutonium.
You know, the 4th Einstein was my first one.
That's bad. Come on, Marty, just keep the camera rolling. What are you doing?
No. Pick it up.
Bad, Marty. Bad.
You're documenting history.
Marty, I just had an idea. I call it the GoPro.
And this is like a shot of his ear.
All right. Even in SD, this old man makeup is looking pretty iffy.
I really like that frozen effect, that it comes back all cold and weird, and then the ice is like melting off the surface. I think that's a cool thing that makes you believe that something weird has happened. It's not just
a nice cheap practical effect.
Yeah, that's great.
Does a lot. I wonder if it was easy or hard to do on that stainless steel.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe easier.
Wouldn't it be interesting if they had to build one from scratch that wasn't stainless steel?
Probably do a
just
better
to
job.
Do the effect?
No, I bet they just sprayed on some like super cooled liquid.
Probably, yeah.
You know what? This was right around the time that they were freezing liquid nitrogen and using it for laser projects, so I'm sure they found some plucky young college students.
You couple of states around state, and you get a big, big laser. All the guys who washed out are real genius. You know, came to work for Doc Brown as interns.
Took a few of the college students, froze them just to test it.
And historic. Look at him being all super correct.
Hey, it was in the script.
Gigawatts.
Oh.
that's a tough one to stomach.
12 parsecs.
Real Genius and Back to the Future came out the same year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did. It's a good
summer
year.
Of 85. You will never look at a blue Volkswagen van the same way again. Until Lost. Then...
The Libyans.
Nobody scarier than that. Libyans.
Yeah, they were scary back then.
Yeah, hey, remember when Islamic terrorists were mildly threatening for a movie?
Hey, remember when PG movies had a lot of swearing in them?
Yeah.
I need guidance, Jason. Can you guide me through this vulgar language?
It's okay. It'll be okay. Oh, I don't like Doc Brown's chances here. Well, you're never going to get paid now, jerk. This is why Libya never made it.
Oops.
And my apologies to Libyans for this movie.
Marty is perhaps not the sharpest cookie in the drawer.
Okay, Marty.
Convenient gun jamming.
I don't
convenient
think,
Volkswagen.
Yeah, I'm skeptical about the guys they hired to play the Libyans.
Yeah.
What are you doing, Marty? He's just.
This is like the best Top Gear.
He's just trying to escape in a DeLorean. Is he purposefully trying to go 88? I think maybe he is.
No, I think he's just running scared.
I think he's just trying to get away.
At this point, he's completely forgotten about the whole time travel aspect of things.
Yeah.
Oh, nope. He's purposely trying to go 88.
Well, now he is. Now he is.
I think.
Oh, he's just trying to go fast.
He's trying to get away.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
But in a parking lot, you can't get it up to 88 miles an hour easily, so...
Needs a straightaway.
He just needs to drive through the JCPenney. Oh, rocket launcher. That's
motivation.
Bad.
Hey,
it's going to be okay,
guidance.
Steve. It's going to be okay.
Guide me.
Holy shit is something people say when they're upset.
All right.
Marty is upset.
It was the 80s, after all.
It wasn't poop emoji back then?
Fox Video, no.
Oh, Scarecrow.
No!
Oh, this is good gag. Wah, wah, wah.
Man, remember Barnes?
Puff of smoke up at the top. Quality chewing tobacco on the side. Oh.
Crickets.
Ma?
Literally.
Something happened out in the barn.
Go see what it was, Edgar. Oh, wait, wrong movie.
Have we traveled back to the 1800s now?
It's a good thing jammies don't change that much over time, because that would ruin the surprise. Mm. Oh, surprise ruined.
'50s children will be terrified by Michael J. Fox.
Convenient how he looks just like the cover.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad they didn't see that.
The cows are cool with it.
You ran over our brother. He's under your DeLorean.
It's the most exciting thing that's ever happened to them.
He's very polite.
Oh, kids. I love it. And that's what reading science fiction will do to you, kids.
Yeah.
Make you murderous.
Bloodthirsty kids.
Good thing I never read science fiction, ever.
No. Don't do it.
This basically results in a whole monsters do on Maple Street scenario that we don't get to see because it's out in the sticks here, but basically this whole neighborhood burns down over the next day or two.
Twin Pines Ranch.
Ah.
Green screen. And yet no marks on the road. That was impressive.
It's using space age materials for the tires. Doc Brown invented them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Came to him in a dream.
How you keep the flames from melting them.
Hey, Lion Estates.
Hey, they got rid of the graffiti. Oh, and also
all the houses.
Near where Aline lives, there's a housing development that looks just like that because they built the big things.
Field?
They build the big things at the front, and then the housing downturn happened, and they never built anything else but the entrance.
And the poor dead palm trees.
I always feel like there were more old people in the 50s. Like, they used them more in TV shows or whatever.
That was before we instituted Carousel, so...
Logan's Run has cleared that up.
Well, the interesting thing is after 30 years, Logan's Run didn't exist anymore either.
Oh, man, I need more wrenchins.
Stupid plutonium. Got a tape player. I got a camcorder.
Those are actually the things that if you would ask me, if you could bring some technology back in time to the 80s to just blow people's minds, those are probably the two things I would have brought back.
So those vests were totally in.
Hey, remember the champagne of bottled beers?
Yes.
They're still fashionable in Portland, aren't they?
No, we don't.
Where's the adult bookstore?
The actor.
Where's the XXX theater?
It's Castle still there. Montana, it's just they're showing a slightly sick. Different kind of picture now.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Cattle Queen of Montana is also a XXX film.
That's just sick.
Look at all those guys waiting to pump your gas at Texaco.
It's still
Manny,
a Texaco.
Mo, Jack, and Curly.
That's not product placement. That was a choice.
Yeah.
Because the four guys of Texaco, We Are the Men of Texaco, was a big thing in the 50s.
Yeah.
So that's... It's interesting to think, what are the product placements and what are the writers saying, hey, we have to do this.
Poor kid in the springs.
Spring shoes. This is great, too, this little minor montage here. We're going to cram as much 50s faddish stuff into one little spot as possible.
We got Mr. Sandman.
And the clock tower still works.
What the heck?
Those are the hoverboards of the 50s. The hoverboards of the 50s were the spring shoes.
Oh, right.
Shoes of the future, they were probably advertised in comic books.
And in 1950, people were like, where are my spring shoes? It's already the 1950s.
A nice place to live,
future
in quotes.
Future farmers of America.
You think those are sarcastic quotes? It's not actually a nice place to live?
No, they didn't have irony in 1955.
Fair point.
Now, interesting that he uses the same poster design.
And the same tagline.
Goldie's poster is intentionally a reference to old Mayor Red's campaign.
It's a throwback.
It's my headcanon.
And mayors of Hill Valley can only be named for colors.
Gotta be a dream.
Telephone.
Oh, remember phone booths?
No.
We still had them in the 80s, just FYI.
Oh, yeah. I always loved that in Die Hard 2, he's at Dulles Airport and there's a phone booth for Pacific Bell.
Is there is that the jukebox that's in Doc's office in the first scene?
Oh.
Mm.
Maybe.
It might have been.
Just want to use the phone.
Scientist.
That was true, though. They would have little things by certain names.
Yeah. One of my friends in high school, his dad was in the phone book as a photographer.
Hmm.
He was like an elementary school teacher. I don't know why he was in the phone book as photographer.
He had a camera.
Yeah.
And thanks for wrecking my phone book, Dick.
Yeah, you could have just written it down, kid.
Welcome to the Pepsi, pal.
I had to explain Pepsi Free to the kids because it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah.
That's a joke. It's that
caffeine free Pepsi, but.
This is the best.
Oh. Ooh. Like the 3D glasses, they're super intimidating. Mm-hmm. Biff.
That's more than I would give him credit for, though, that whole realization that his handwriting actually matters.
Oh, someone told him, I'm sure.
He cares about what he cares about, like getting caught, but not about learning or anything.
Now, the question is, which one of them is Scut Farkas?
Oh, George McFly, such a pushover.
I love that car, though.
Yeah.
Her face.
I love that's a Zemeckis. It feels like a very, very Robert Zemeckis kind of shot, too, where he's got the action going on in the foreground while you've got the car going off in the background. It's really, really nice. Goldie!
I love watching Michael J. Fox think, because it's almost like he's thinking too hard.
Yeah. Can you imagine that when they did that shot, it's just like, keep thinking, Michael, and he's just like eyes moving up and down slightly, thinking, processing, yes. Is that enough?
Think harder!
I love that. Yeah.
You've already changed. Well, no, I guess he's just set time on its regular course here.
That's right.
That's one of the questions of this movie is how much of this is he making what actually happened, and how much of it is he changing the future? In the end, he doesn't change it a lot. He gets it pretty close.
Were those bells actually meant to be like horns to indicate you were coming around a corner?
Yes.
I never knew that.
Yeah.
Creeper.
Seriously. Ooh.
Yeah.
God, you do so much work in the 50s.
It is crisp and clever.
It's the broad daylight that kills me. Come on.
Bird watching.
Jason, I might need some guidance here.
Well, crisp and clever is a goof. And he may die.
I think it's safe. Oh. I'm just going to see violence.
Oh, fell down, head go boom. In some of these shots, Crispin Glover looks like 8 years old.
A haircut.
Another one of these damn kids. I love that. It was a fad at the time, jumping in front of cars. It didn't last very long because all the kids died. Oh, boy. Here we go.
We had that ice pack.
Wow.
Whoa. What?
Caroline, in the city. The early years. <Yeah. laughs> Easy there, Oedipus. Easy. Easy.
Come on, you're probably not wearing any pants under there. Be careful.
Oedipus Fox.
Oh. You weren't supposed to see that.
It's okay, Steve. Tidy whities were common in the 80s.
Sometimes they're purple. Tiny
whities? I've seen those before, Jason.
It's providing some guidance.
Calvin, that's an important point there.
I'll ask for guidance when I need it. Thank you very much.
Okay. Good gag. Really good gag.
Nothing comes between him and his Calvins. Mom.
Is that your name? Jockey? Jockey? Weird name for a boy.
Jockey.
Is it Mr. Jockey?
What does the BVD stand for?
Are you Irish, Mr. O'Dolum?
Oh,
the eyes.
Good. Fine. It's fine. It's good. Grandma. Yeah, you shouldn't feel too
those
bad about
lavender
that.
Nice.
Obviously,
than
somebody
whiteies.
Took them off.
What a wonderfully artfully designed set right there, where you can see her taking that one last peek in the mirror.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's great.
That's a Robert Zemeckis thing, I think, too. That's a very, yeah. very... He does a lot of windows and reflections and camera moves and things. It's... And then he made the Polar Express. I don't know either, people. I don't know.
Oh, it's Jason Hervey. I used to run into that kid all the time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Baby,
what would you do if I sang out of tune?
Stay tuned for our Wonder Years commentary some other time.
Well, he used to show up at auditions the same time as I did. Yeah? He was a knob. He's probably great now.
Well, he was... look at the characters he was playing. He was always playing like annoying kid, right?
Yeah, so. Well, they cast him properly.
Oh my goodness.
I enjoy Grandpa's enthusiasm about the rolling television. That's your aunt and uncle and your other uncle, Marty.
And your
super
mom
weird.
Making eyes at you.
Mm. 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 Shut up, Jason Hervey.
Ridiculous.
I can't help but think this movie would have been so much better with Little Steve.
We're cord cutters, actually. We don't have a TV anymore. Hmm.
You were just hit by a car. I don't want her to worry. It's fine.
Yeah. Miller High Life, by the way. The bad part of town. Who?
I think people knew who John F. Kennedy was in 1955, though.
Not in Hill Valley.
They just got a TV.
They think it's a new episode.
Gosh. He really likes Jackie Gleason. What a kid from the 80s, like Marty, like no Jackie Gleason episodes on site.
Yes, because they were watching it.
Yeah.
His father was watching it in the first scene.
Interesting. I was going to say
that. Yeah, the 70s TV only got shows from 20 years previous.
Well, to be fair, his grandfather was a huge fan of Jackie Gleason, very clearly, right? So,
right.
Yeah. And, there you go.
But it's his other grandfather.
It's his father. Mm. Right.
But it's also, it's the episode where he's dressed as a space alien.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
Which is a nice touch. Reference.
Mm-hmm. I like that they keep the flirtations between Leia Thompson and Michael J. Fox kind of light, but really when you try to put yourself in that situation, it is phenomenally disturbing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I really like because it plays into the 50s, too, that you've got these, you've got the way she's dressed, where it's on one level incredibly restrained and she's covered in all of that, and yet you can see it in her body language. She's practically bursting out of her clothes. Like,
yes.
It's a great contrast. Same old doc.
About when this came out, I was getting into the novels of Thorne Smith, who were also sort of supernatural science fiction screwball comedies, but they're very risque. And so the interactions between Marty and his mom fit that template perfectly. I don't know how intentionally, you know, if that's an homage or anything, but it does fit.
Same old doc. I feel like they could have just not changed Christopher Lloyd's makeup at all, and it would have been fine.
It would
fine.
Have been awesome. Yeah.
Like, Doc is timeless. He just is.
I got to be honest, I wasn't even aware he was wearing old man makeup in the future scenes.
The neck is really weird on him.
Yeah, they tried, but they should have not bothered. Oh, that dialogue didn't match up at all.
Also, here's this thing called Velcro.
If he were Sherlock Holmes, he would look at the, what is with the pincher?
It always starts with the hair in time travel.
Yeah. Huh.
Cattle Queen of Montana.
That's funny. Because why would you elect stupid people in the future?
I'm kind of disappointed he didn't call him Future Boy from then on out.
Future Boy.
The Adventures of Future Boy in the Past. I guess by definition.
Great Scott. They just call him Boy in the future.
That's true.
Yes.
Oh, there we go. Again, if he was Sherlock Holmes, he would just look at the synthetic fibers of his clothes and say, you can't come from this time. You must be from some weird future time.
I mean, why would anyone choose to wear a puffy vest? Yes. Think about it, Doc.
Great Scott, I must tell my friend John DeLorean about this.
Little Johnny DeLorean down the street.
Johnny, you should see this car. Come outside.
The door's open.
Take a break from
up.
Doing lines in yep. your backyard.
You may not like this car, but your kids are going to also not like it and not buy it. It's going to go out of business.
What can I do to put you in this car, Doc?
So the time travel prime directive is out then.
Yeah.
I think since he hit his head on the toilet and thought of the flux capacitor that he originally called it the flush capacitor, I feel like he probably did. Probably went through a few iterations. The flush crapacitor.
Yeah, the first version probably looked like a toilet, too, or like a plunger.
He was able to plug it into the jacks on the back of that TV.
I was going to say.
Yeah, there's no way.
There are no
jacks. Unless he has an RF modulator.
The rabbiters have to connect to something if they're, well, no, they probably don't. There was no reason. I just go straight into the TV.
On the TV I had in the 70s, it had a coaxial cable converter to the two little leads that come off of rabbit ears. So unless this camcorder happened to come with a coax to antenna lead converter, I'm just going to stop. It's just go with it.
He's a scientist. He figured it out.
Yeah.
But JVC product.
I mean, he didn't figure out the Velcro thing, but
hey, look,
this.
Remember the milk bone.
A milk bone. There's more product placement than you realize.
It's Einstein 1.
Gigawatts!
That's not even a word!
The gigawatts thing, it's funny, because that was at a time when giga as a prefix was just not used anywhere.
Yeah, where would you use that ever?
Who? Nobody needs a computer with more than 256K of memory.
What's a K?
I had a Sinclair with 2. 2K is great. I got the expansion for 16K.
It's a lot more Ks.
I wonder if they managed to do product placement, you know, comparing all the product boxes from the present and the past in this. Because that's not,
I'm noticing a lot of those.
Well, the Texaco station, obviously.
The Miller High Life.
And somebody had some fun.
Hey, Doc, look at this exposition that's facing me.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a blue piece of paper.
1.21 gigawatts.
1.21 gigawatts.
Bolt of lightning.
It's a good thing I was looking at the exposition, Doc.
I love the key points repeated mechanism here. He actually makes him rewind the videotape earlier.
Yep.
I need to go over that important bit again. This sucker's electrical.
I like that tassel on the lampshade, on the lamp hanging down. If you flip it to the other side, it means the lamp has graduated.
If you hang it on a doorknob, no, anyway.
There's a distinct lack of clocks to his decor.
Well, he's not yet obsessed with time.
Well, he hasn't obsessed
was
yet.
Was he working on a light machine at some point?
You got to replace the hobbies.
Title.
Marty, I said the title.
Ta-da.
Where's the logo? He's looking for the logo. I was still
my laser-based music player will have to wait.
Hang on. I'm sending you Back to the Future Part 2.
Don't do
Doc,
anything.
I got a tape player with some music on it from the future. How about that?
Whatever you do, Marty, you mustn't sleep with your mother. That's just good advice anytime.
That's right. I'm not sure why I mention it.
David, I hadn't really thought about what would have happened if Brian Blessed had played Doc, but now I have. Thanks.
Right? Right? He was originally with Stoltz.
Oh.
It's very creepy.
This is an unusual way to depict time travel changes to the timeline, but it's really good in explaining like the ticking time bomb of danger of changing the past.
People gripe about it, but this is not the only time this has been used. I mean, usually they use some mumbo jumbo about the time streams rippling and catching up over time.
You don't normally have your like people from the future gradually have their body parts erased in a photo. That is a really clever and unique, I think, visual cue about it.
Well, you know, the dumbs can figure it out very easily based on that.
Yeah.
Oh, George. Speaking of people who don't need any age makeup.
But look at his neck. Yeah. His neck in the future is very, very lined and kind of artificially so. Very freaky.
Oh, sorry. There's some Canadianism slipping through from Michael J. Fox. Come on, man. Where's your dialect coach? American. Think American.
It's 1985. Nobody knows what Canadians sound like.
Well, the one word that is going to be coming through as Canadian is sorry.
They don't say a boot enough.
Actually, this is probably right around the time of You Can't Do That on Television. So people were, the kids at least, were intimately aware of the fact that you said sorry and dad.
I don't know. Oh, God, slime.
It's not at all creepy.
Oh no.
I know we've just met that one time, but here, let me pimp this dude to you.
I like the tree outside your house. It's really nice.
I
like the bird who lives there.
I think Doc grasps the nastiness of this whole situation.
Great Scott, Marty, have you not read Oedipus?
If we're not careful, you'll pluck your eyes out.
And then how will you get back to the future? That was the title again. Ah, heavy.
And why are people saying heavy from 1985?
It was big in Hill Valley. It was Hill Valley-ism.
Yeah.
If only we were in a better film like Citizen Kane! Nothing.
Rhythmic ceremonial ritual.
Rhythmic ceremonial ritual.
It's utterly dumb that he would use that kind of language, but it's so great.
It's great. He's a nerdy scientist.
It's not like he doesn't know what a dance is because he managed to parse it back to rhythmic ceremonial ritual, but...
He just wanted to be precise.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that hair.
Yeah, I know.
I gotta say...
I want to punch him.
He looks a little bit like a long-lost relative of Brian Hamilton. Just a little bit.
Yeah, I could sort of see that.
Yeah, Crispin Glover. I see a, like a cousin of Brian Hamilton there. Or a, like a great uncle, I guess.
Maybe really distant. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. I've seen
certainly
it a couple
not,
of
not
times.
Not the mannerisms or anything, but the facial features. The facial features, just a little, just
the,
a little
the
bit.
The occasional there. Expression, the wide-eyed thing.
Ask him about breakfast. He'll answer in a creepy way because it's Crispin Glover. It's just, that's what he does.
Clowny clown clown.
I like breakfast. I can eat it 24 hours a day. I can kick. I can punch. I can have eggs.
Is that an enormous plate of eggs? Scrambled eggs?
Biff.
Ooh. Biff to the future.
Ugh, he's...
Biff is the worst.
He is the worst.
We need to have a conversation about consent.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Let's take Biff to the future.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to say to 2015, but maybe 2035.
I actually am shocked that Tom Wilson wasn't in a lot more stuff.
I know, right?
He is so good in these movies. He's great in the Wing Commander games, believe it or not.
He really is.
And he just kind of disappeared.
The Shadow of Biff, I guess. Act like a tree and get out of here.
Get out of here.
That one kills my kids when we watch this movie. They love that one. That's just...
That's a good one.
It's impressive, so though, how well he pulls off, like at the beginning when he's old, he pulls off that kind of ridiculous goofball, you know, kind of... He's not menacing at all, and yet there he's got serious menace to him.
Yeah.
No, he's great. I mean, and he's one of the best things in Back to the Future, too.
Too. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lorraine wants to go with you.
Crispin Glover, not one of the good things in Back to the Future 2, because he refused to appear. Or he kicks somebody and they're like, forget this guy.
I,
and just use him archival
I was kind of okay
footage.
With that.
Yeah.
Well,
he's pretty damn good in this too, though.
Only my brother's socks remain.
And the hairy shins.
Yes, it's true.
There's a clock.
No, he's learned his lesson. He's going to terrify him with heavy metal music from Planet Vulcan.
I wonder if there's some combination of ways he could leave 1955 such that when he got back, that was still just hairy shins where his brother used to be.
Remember Edward Van Halen?
Guitar solo as weapon.
I am Edward Van Halen's father.
Planet Vulcan. We mix the franchises there. It's great. They don't know.
Now, how did the exit from that situation go?
I have to go now, back to my home planet of Vulcan.
Let me take these headphones off of your head real fast here. Just a second. Just don't mind me.
They are Sony's and very expensive.
Please don't let this take away from the magic.
No, close your eyes and count to 10. And when you awaken, I will be gone.
I will return to my space vehicle.
You're getting very sleepy. Sleep. There she is.
Cool Calvin saves the dad.
It's interesting that they found a sort of 50s/80s fusion outfit for Michael J. Fox to wear here. I'm pretty sure that pink checkered shirt probably was not a thing in 1955.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pink Cheerio'd.
I don't know.
They raided Doc Brown's wardrobe for this stuff, right? So it's all weird.
That's right. That's true.
Trying to fix his hair.
Well, Well, so is he, actually.
This is on the soundtrack.
And in the soundtrack novelization.
The soundtrack is super weird because it's got a bunch of 50s classics. It's got some 80s placement, not just Huey Lewis, but there's some other stuff on there, Lindsey Buckingham. And then there's some Silvestri Overture stuff. So it's a real mess of a soundtrack.
Covered. Sure. I'd have been satisfied with just the power of love over and over again.
That's a great move with the chocolate milk.
Are things denser in the future, Marty?
It's heavier.
Yeah, I've been outside your window for the last 6 weeks.
Have you seen the river's edge?
The eggs are about to hatch in the tree.
What does that mean exactly? I need some guidance here, Jason. What did you mean by that?
I spent a lot of time in the tree watching you through the window.
Oh.
Oh. Who unplugged the jukebox?
Yeah.
Biff is kind of like a reverse Fonzie. He makes jukeboxes stop.
What does he say? Z!
It's a look. All right.
Tom Wilson, stand on a box. Be as tall as you.
There's like one split second of Eric Stoltz in this. If you go on YouTube and look at where they've slowed it down.
Oh, yeah, like a reverse shot where they like the reverse shot better with Eric Stoltz.
And convincingly Relatable. Show the difference. Biff has, like, bags under his eyes in the real shot, and, like, he looks tired or like somebody who's already shot a quarter of a movie and had to do it again.
Marty
He's invented
the skateboard.
And Converse.
And Sparks!
Hey, remember Sparks?
Yeah, remember Sparks?
Yeah, there's that Cool Places song with Jane Wheedlin. That was pretty good. Monster of Love.
Her hair is so pretty.
Yeah.
Oh, I had a thing for Leah Thompson in the 80s.
I can see it.
She's
well, that's
so
the thing. You come to this movie and she's introduced as the mom, and then all of a sudden she's a... She's a attractive love interest that it must not be. Whoa!
Which just makes it all the hotter.
Tumular.
He invented all the moves. Sorry, lady. Oh. It's the reverse of the tailgating from before.
Oh, yes. This is the best.
Manure.
I love it. But this car. Oh, this car.
Sorry, car.
You see, it's manure, Steve, so when they say shit, they're describing what they're about to see.
Yeah.
They got the physics of that manure pile exactly right.
Oh.
It's one of the great scenes of cinematic history, really.
Your parents would like it, but your kids are going to love that skateboard.
And there she is, right there.
Yeah.
Suggestively.
Oh, man. She's a little hungry.
Mm-hmm. I used to see that in my dreams.
Oh, Doc. No, what Doc should say is, Marty, you keep dropping the camera when you talk to me. It's really bad cinematography.
How do you like my goggles?
It's Dr. Horrible.
Density.
I do want to ask you.
He was just watching the video Zapruder-like, but no, don't tell me anymore. I've already seen it.
Marty, what is a sing-along blog?
I presume that's where the video cuts off right there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I spent the last 5 days constructing a model of the town.
Are you a modeled railroader, Doc?
It's good that Marty can't hold the camera straight, but he does have the presence of mind to turn off the camera when Libyans approach.
You know, When I got in my horse and buggy accident, as a teenager, I was using a camcorder like Marty McFly, and and we tried to piece together what happened during the accident later. And it turns out, as it became apparent we were going to crash, I pressed pause on the camcorder and put it down. So I had no video of the actual accident. So I feel for Marty. Like,
all right, checks out.
Just take over, and something takes over, and you press the button, and you think, I got to pause it before I run away from my life. I don't know.
I feel like I need you to tell me a story about a horse and buggy at some point.
You can check it out. I've talked about it on some podcasts before. I did. I took my DeLorean back to 1858.
Back to the Amish.
It's kind of near Monument Valley.
It was really just
odd.
Back to the Future Part 3 is essentially what happened to me. I put a small amount of plutonium in the back of the toy car. I'm sending it to the future. Oh, the car exploded.
You know, I bet this would have worked if we had put a dog in it.
There was a tiny dog in that model car.
Oh, no.
Bad lab practices.
Love that fire.
That is why you pick up your oil-soaked rags and paint cans.
Yeah.
Great fire extinguisher. To pressure.
I was
water
trying
bottle.
To invent the oil-soaked rag machine.
Great pile of rags and paint cans.
Doc has one look, and it's the bug eyes.
Oh, no.
Whisper, yell it louder.
Whisper, yeah. Yell.
Lorraine is right outside.
Marty, it's your mother! Damn!
That sweater. This is my gentleman friend. Still interested?
I'm his ward, and we fight crime by night, and oh. You've said too much!
Hey, guys!
So is this one of the things where they forget everything that happens, and in the future when her son starts to look like the kid that she was trying to like hook up with when she was a teenager, like, do they put these things together or have they forgotten all of this?
No, she doesn't.
They don't remember. Partially, they don't take photos.
Well,
right?
they name their son after the Marty who helped them, right?
Yeah.
But
it only makes sense he would grow up to look like him.
I am my own namesake.
There's a very good reason that we don't see those scenes, because he zaps back in time to well after she would have made that connection, I assume.
Yeah, in a modern movie, there might even be a moment when he returns home where the mom or the dad says, you just went, didn't you? You were just there. And they're like, they totally know what was happening, but not in 1985. It's more of a Doctor Who plot line.
Yeah.
Well, he was only there for like a week, right?
Yeah. So. I mean, it was important time in their lives, but it was very short, and then they never saw him again.
There was no Instagram. There was no like record of him being there. Nobody's has a camera in this movie so far, besides Marty and Dr. Brown.
He just invented the word daddy-o.
Ah, big plan here.
Surely there's no way this goob can blow this.
Wow.
And surely there's no way. Why does he think she would get angry with him if he's getting fresh? Because she's been trying to get fresh for the whole time.
It's not a great plan.
No.
He's not a smart child. I mean, he's not.
This is true.
He's not.
Why does the flap of the one pocket keep going in and out from scene to scene? Or shot to shot, rather.
Well, when a pocket loves a shirt very, very much.
Now, George, the fabric softener goes in to keep the static cling off, and then you clip it right on the clothesline. Oh, forget it. You look strong. You're a manly man. You can kick. You can fight. Tell them that. Say, hey, you, I can kick, I can fight. And then you kick at the talk show host's head. It'll be great.
Do it, Crispin. have the flyer.
That's right. I mean, what's the point of all that expositional ditto paper if you don't actually believe the exposition?
Great.
What do you believe more, the weatherman or time travel?
I'm going to lose all my money trying to figure this out.
You've gotten suspiciously quiet, Marty.
And same question for Doc Brown. Like, when does Doc Brown realize, oh, yeah, this is the kid who changed my life?
Maybe that's why they became friends in the first place. I mean, remember, he's going to remember the letter he gets that he hasn't gotten yet.
Right,
right.
No, but the first time, he wouldn't have been, so that's got to have been luck. But the second time through, he knows, and then they're friends, right? I think. But the first time, he wouldn't know.
Marty, you're breaking the rules.
Broke so many.
But I love at the end when Doc says, I broke the rules.
Yeah.
It's a nice touch. Because I love writing time travel things, but I love things that just go, you know what? Screw it. We're gonna break the rules.
Captain Kirk thinks your civilization is stupid. Marty McFly thinks your time travel rules are stupid.
This cafe, Hill and Main.
Permit check. Do you have a permit for science?
Sciencing. You know, science.
There's test tubes under there. Then there may be a fetal pig. Yes, yes. I've got all the forms.
Psychic paper? No.
They were big on permitting back in 1955.
How do you think they kept the town looking so clean? It's more soundtrack music here. Instrumental time.
The blue suits.
Ooh. I love that. I was just thinking. I love those.
Those blazers are awesome.
I would totally wear one.
They've got a nice sheen to them. They're not like overly satiny.
Well, and they fit the theme too.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty cool when you can hire a band that will match their blazers to your prom theme.
I'd like to see the high school that would have this level of decor for their
normal for them. This is,
I mean, this was a school of theater kids, it's all
okay. The fancy part of town.
It's an Atlantis-themed high school, you know. They had
the Hill Valley Neptunes.
At Hill Valley High, underwater basket weaving is a required course. In fact, it's advanced placement. Oh, boy.
What?
I gotta go out the window. I'll be back.
Is there a bit of dialogue that tells him that it's called parking, or is that something that was still used in the 80s?
It was still used in the 80s.
It's still used today.
It's a euphemism.
Parking?
No, it's not.
Yeah.
Parking?
It is in Indiana.
Well, Indiana.
Indiana.
Hey. It is kind of like living in the 50s. It's true. I've turned into Edwin. What the hell?
Go.
Anybody drinks?
I like how he's finding out what a miscreant his mom is. Just like
Virginia Slims, you've come a long way, baby.
Oh, 30 years from now, she gets on him. I know you drank and smoked that one time, Marty. I saw it.
Yeah. This is before Virginia Slims.
That's true.
You watch Mad Men.
Yeah. They haven't come a long way yet, baby.
No.
It's Back to the Future 4 where he goes into Mad Men territory.
George's off to the side eating a hot dog. Oh no!
That's where he really learns how to drink.
And he's blown it
already.
He's
the one who turns Don Draper into Don Draper.
There's the dress.
Oh, hey, why? Hello.
I may be quiet for a little while. Just go on without me.
Watch it.
Lorraine, I didn't know you had twins. And suddenly he realizes his plan is just not going to work.
No, this is a great
moment.
Those eyes.
Yeah. Yeah, I love this.
Her reaction's great there, too.
Yeah.
What?
Well, yeah.
This is all wrong.
Like I'm kissing my brother.
Oh. Yeah. Well, now we know why he's in jail.
There we go.
Hey, you. Take your damn hands off her. Is that what I'm supposed to say?
No, he's got a Velcro wallet. You don't need to...
Remember when PG movies could get away with that kind of...
All right.
This is the worst. Oh,
well, good. Yeah. At least he's got some standards.
Biff is no longer lovably evil. He is just evil.
Spooks. Love this.
So memorable. This. Oh my God.
Peckerwood.
They got smoke coming out of the car. They got smoke coming out like from behind the car. I don't even know what's going on with all that smoke, but it sets the mood here for the reefer addicts.
That Cadillac logo.
The scene.
Oh boy.
Except for
yeah.
the whole rape aspect of it. But. Yeah.
There is that, yes.
But it had to be super dramatic for him to win.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
So menacing. Music helps too, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Come on, get it together, Brian Hamilton. You can do this.
Watch out, Biff. He can kick.
This is great too, because he's I can punch, I can kick. He's gone off the script now. So George's moment of triumph is off the script and doing the right thing in the moments of fear. So it makes it better than if it was just Marty's scripted thing. Oh no. That'll be important later. Goodbye, guys. I gotta go. I would never see you again. Goodbye. Uh-oh. Don't make him angry. You wouldn't like him when he's angry.
Ah, so great.
Boy,
yes. A double.
My hand is broken.
Love that instant switch.
Mm-hmm.
Lorraine and George at Tanagra. Lorraine and George on the ocean. Marty, the weather's getting worse, but you're not here. What's going on?
Marty! It's going to rain!
The storm.
But the weatherman said.
I looked at my iPhone. Oh, wait.
Marty, don't invent Chuck Berry. Just get over here.
The band can't play. History is ruined.
They're king. And they're big. Kiss.
Always a new complication.
Mm. My parents' sex life is relying on you guys. Come on.
And somehow I think the fact that they've already changed it enough and she's already kind of okay with it, I don't think he has to worry. But okay, whatever. Plot.
It is a little surprising that when he gets back to 1985, he doesn't have like 17 brothers and sisters.
They were very sensible.
I guess George didn't change that much.
Uh-oh.
It's not good enough.
Interesting.
Hey, you. Take your damn hands off her.
It's Courtney Gaines, also from Wing Commander 3. I think.
Oh, no.
I could be completely wrong.
Losing his hand.
He's dying of time. Time travel.
Time travel.
I hate it when that happens.
Come on, George.
Well, that's an evil thing to do. Just be like, ah, ha, 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 yeah. You drag a girl away.
She's really having a rough night. She should be taking self-defense classes is what he should be telling her.
This is when they open the arc and Marty's face melts, right?
This is when he starts playing Eddie Van Halen and his face melts.
You may know that guy who just tried to cut in better as Malachi from Children of the Corn.
Man, it's the kiss.
So if all that happened without Marty's intervention, why was it not? Why had he not already set the timeline right?
Because if they hadn't yelled...
And suddenly the other 17 pop in.
He did intervene. He's playing the guitar.
Ah, I see.
They still had the dance.
Yeah, if they hadn't played, if he hadn't played with them, they would have stopped. They would have had a guitar player.
All right.
They would have just dropped in the bug, and it would have been very, very disappointing. And broken up immediately.
I gotta get going. The weather!
Don't know what you're asking for.
We weren't gonna clap until a white guy started playing with you.
Yeah.
And this is how Whitey invented rock and roll.
Listen, everyone, there's no way Eric Stoltz could sell this.
They keep up quite well, considering they've never heard this style of music before.
No.
Oh, now.
I'm lip syncing!
In the history of movie lip syncs, this is the most... bad match of voice to actor ever. Yeah.
Doesn't really sound like him anyway.
No.
That's
the problem.
You know, it's not too awful. It sounds, you know, it's similar timbre, but it doesn't sound like him.
Also, I have a hard time believing that nobody had ever heard any music like this before, including those musicians. Come on.
Yeah.
Chuck, you're about to record Maybelline and release it as a huge hit, but you got to hear this that sounds just like it.
You kind of want the other end of the phone call to be like, hey, what are the odds? That sounds exactly like the song I wrote last year.
Okay. Get that white boy and hold him. I'm going to come kick his ass.
Yeah, that's right. How are the white people stealing my stuff even before I've released it?
Always.
Chuck, you want us to throw him in the trunk? We'll get him for copyright infringement.
So dispirited by the discovery that this kid is playing his music, Chuck Berry retires from music, thereby changing the course of the future. Rock and roll ceases to exist.
Yeah, we all listen to EDM now.
All that remains is classic 50s heavy metal and modern dance music.
And Spandau Ballet. They survived somehow.
I know this much is true.
Hey, what are you doing to our stuff, man?
That was a nice Fender amp there. Oops.
Here's your Eddie Van Halen payoff. How about something by Huey Lewis in the News? You'd probably like that.
Terrified everyone with Van Halen.
He is an alien.
Is that what they play on Planet Vulcan? What have you done to my guitar? I will burn it now. You have sullied it. Marvin Berry does not approve of you.
Ew.
Yeah. I have a feeling that Crispin Glover is kind of a weirdo, but
he is.
You know, the timeline, whatever.
Will. I'm real curious about that casting casting call that he turned up to.
Crispin Glover?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of an audition did he give?
He ate a bug.
I mean, is this the most normal role he's ever done? I think it might be.
Possibly.
Recited a tone poem he wrote about veal.
About time travel, but it was about the herb time and how it was shipped around the world.
That's right. By clowns.
Uh-huh. Well, the plot's wrapped up. I guess there's nothing more in this movie.
No, there's always something more.
Damn.
Damn.
Damn, damn.
Triple damn.
Damn, damn, damn. Western Auto. Remember Western Auto?
Yeah.
80s clothes.
Zoot suit. Marty, that's not a zoot suit. It's not. It doesn't have an overcoat. You didn't have a hat.
These are not the 30s, Marty. Good enough. That's his. The timeline is fixed enough.
Marty, close is that enough. An adding machine on your wrist?
I like how he knows how to work it. It's so intuitive.
Well, you know, he designed it.
He's a genius.
No, he designed it so it works genius. Exactly as he would expect it to
Did
work.
Did they have keypads in the 50s like that, though? I don't know.
That's really the best way to do UI design is to go back in time and design it yourself so it works to exactly your specifications.
Mm. There you go.
So it's Scott Forstall, dude.
Retro skeuomorphism.
Oh, dear.
Simultaneous skeuomorphism jokes. That's the incomparable, folks.
Yeah.
Thank you, members. We love our listeners. We love
We're dorks.
Our listeners. I guess so. Aw.
Goodbye,
no
stranger.
Kiss? I've never felt the embrace of another, Marty. Thank you.
Be happy.
In case you didn't get this before.
Mm-hmm. What the hell was my line?
I don't know, Alex.
What's this?
Nope.
Mm-mm.
It's an essay I wrote.
Mm-hmm. It's just a
It's
thing,
a direct
you know?
Mail advertisement! No!
It's one of those games where you fold it up and it tells you things that are supposed to be about the future.
Cootie catcher?
It's a cootie catcher!
Yes, that's it. Thank you. It's a cootie catcher. Don't rip it up.
What? Another complication?
No!
Great, no. Scott!
This wasn't on the sheet!
Uh-oh.
Throw me the idol, I'll throw you the whip. Got it.
This is what we get for building the town on the Universal Studios tour!
If you see a Cylon, wave him over. He can help.
Whoa, deep cut. Universal Studios, deep cut.
Marty, if the tram doesn't go 88 miles, you'll have to jump the collapsing bridge. Have I ever told you I love Harold Lloyd?
I should have expected we would all be doing Christopher Lloyd impressions now. Harold Lloyd?
How many steps
Lloyd?
Are there up to that bell right. tower, by the way?
That's true.
Go.
I can't wait for the scene where the lightning hits the little creature up there and it turns alive.
Yeah,
and scares some people in the tavern on the green.
There is no
No, Doc! Only Zool!
Marty, the steps go up!
Are you the Keymaster?
Oh, Harold Lloyd! Christopher Lloyd! Now I see the connection!
It's okay, Dr. Brown. I'm the Keymaster.
Yes, Crispin Glover is
the Keymaster.
That was my Rick Moranis. It was pretty bad, though. Yeah.
No, but I'm imagining now, what if Crispin Glover had been in Ghostbusters?
No.
Who does your taxes? I don't know if that was Crispin Glover or like Rip Taylor. Blow him a kiss. That's amore. That's a spicy meatball.
Marty, when the moon hits your eye!
Anyway.
All right.
Come on, Doc.
You can do this. You can do this, Doc.
This is...
Should have worn better.
I do love the levels of tension being amped up here, right? It's like,
yeah.
you finally solved the problem that the movie is trying to solve, but it's not enough. I love that. I love this, that they've painted or chalked down the go here, Marty line on the street.
It's got to be exact.
Yeah, because they got to hit it at 88. He's got a little bamboo pole that sticks
lightning.
Into the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, admittedly, you could probably get up to 88 and stay at 88 for a while.
Yeah.
But
it has to hit the one thing at the right second, which how they know the second, that's not really explained.
They were very precise in newspapers back in the day.
Mm. He's got really huge ear canals.
You can't help that.
I know I'm noticing the wrong things, but yeah. Man, that was just kind of weird.
Oscillation over thruster set.
Oh, another complication.
Another
I can't believe it. I thought we were all done with complications.
No, I don't think so.
I'm sure if you just give it some gas and keep trying to turn it over, it'll finally just turn over. Or isn't that the rule that if you flooded your engine, you just gotta leave it for a minute and then come back?
This is where Doc invented the portable jump starting device.
Oh.
They really need to renovate the clock
tower.
They
do. Take up a collection.
It is a miracle the whole thing was standing 30 years later.
Damn DeLoreans.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a support ledge that he just killed right there.
Yeah.
DeLorean's notoriously unreliable. So that's accurate.
Yeah.
That's a good thing I'm not wearing corduroys.
Well, Doc.
Oh!
Such a great face.
There we go.
I'm holding
and
my breath.
Problem
and
solved.
No, well, surely all of the complications are out of the way now. I don't flood it, Ding Dong.
Yeah.
Now that's using your head, Marty.
That's a little Fonzie action there. Fonzie's from the 50s.
That's how this really worked.
I mean, that's how you started a DeLorean in the first place.
Yeah, well, you do your line of blow off the steering column, and then you bump your head into it, and it would start.
Oh, no.
What? Another complication. I can't believe it.
Lucky nobody drives on these roads, but...
That's right.
Everybody's at the dance.
Yeah.
It's a community event.
Oh, no.
Oh, great Scott.
It's a great
just screams. So good. Christopher Lloyd, so great. Okay, get it together, Doc.
Now that's using science.
Mm. Glad I brought my gloves.
Yeah, really.
All right. It's It's got the afterburners going or something.
And Doc is dead.
Yep.
He's fine.
The Libyans lost their chance. Zael's still there.
Oz, there's another one. Wow.
Well, that wraps it up at the clock tower.
Mm-hmm. That's a wrap. The clock tower, everybody.
Yay!
So one of my very favorite things in Back to the Future 2 is that they replay this entire moment. And it, as soon as he's done with his moment of revelry, Marty steps back out to talk to Doc, and he goes, no! It's great. It's a really great moment.
Those are surprisingly decent sequels, I do have to say.
Yeah, there's things in Part 2 that I don't like, but there's some great stuff in there, too. And
so many opportunities for them to completely blow that.
It's the present day after all. Oh, no. We're back in the 80s now. That divot is still up there.
It's still there. Yeah.
Well,
the California raisins.
A ruined town. So
there's the place is still a dump. Yeah.
Eric Clapton soundtrack song playing there, being listened to by the homeless man.
Is that on the soundtrack?
Yep. Heaven is one step away. Available in your local cassette tape player music store.
I'm going to look down on you.
Yep. Statler Toyota.
Statler Toyota.
Is that Elmo's Kids back there? Oh, good.
The Orgy movie's still playing. Still playing, yeah.
Just enough time to catch that before I got to go save Doc.
Held over for another month.
At least it's not Bambi 2.
Well, that was back when movies could last for a couple of weeks in a theater. Oh, no.
Stupid DeLoreans.
The Libyans!
Convenience.
Hey, give me a ride.
Man, if I only had a ride like a van again.
Libyans.
Fortunately, he can just run to the shopping mall.
Yeah.
Yep, there it is.
Yep.
Shopping mall's just basically right
it's
around
right
the corner.
Right around the corner.
Again, nobody else.
Lone Pine Mall.
Oh, it is 1:33,
so that's
morning.
The important importance of seeing the clock.
Yeah.
This scene really blew my mind when I was a kid, I gotta say.
That's me!
This is so great. We already saw the scene, now we see it from the other perspective. So great. I did not notice that it went from Twin Pines to Lone Pines because he ran over the tree. Mm-hmm. Though.
Yes.
I love that.
I didn't catch that for years.
Yeah.
Oh, man. My mom and I were two of the only people in the room laughing in that weekend.
That's a subtle one.
Because it was such a nice detail. It was Chekhov's farmer yelling about his pine.
Mm-hmm. Fox Photo, no!
And that's why those went out of business.
There's no blood. Hey,
also, the Libyans are probably getting out with their guns right now.
The power of the urn!
No, the power of love. Come on.
It's a curious thing.
I've heard it makes an old man weep. Doesn't seem very nice.
Makes another man sing.
I have this bullet riddled piece of paper that I left on the outside of the vest.
That I just happened
Look,
to bring with
and
me.
And I remembered about
Marty,
it.
Marty, the clock tower is going to...
In case I forgot about it tonight, of all nights.
He's like, this will be dramatic when he returns from the past.
That's right.
You got to... I mean, of course, he would do that.
Yeah, that... His makeup
what the
is
hell?
Just
the story of time travel.
That's what Doctor Who says. And...
Yep.
I mean, he's essentially a Time Lord at this point.
Yeah,
I do like how, you know, when this came on, Doctor Who had been on the air for 20 years and was about to go off the air again. And then And then when Doctor Who came back, they made multiple references to Back to the Future in Doctor Who as a way of explaining time travel. I love that. I love that we've come all the way around. We're now Back to the Future is the touchstone of how time travel works. It's great. There is a moment where David Tennant actually says, have you seen Back to the Future? It's like Back to the Future. I'm like, oh my God. Okay. All right. We don't have to pay for the special effect again.
Bright light.
All right. Now the movie's
over. Light at the Dollar Tree and we're good.
Man, I'm glad I set everything back to normal.
Huh?
Pepsi Free still exists!
Now it has NutraSweet instead of saccharin.
I still sleep in an uncomfortable position.
Why is that never explained? Is that an edible thing?
He's a never nude.
But he has to have the suspender straps in the right spot.
Yeah.
It's the 80s. It's Back in Time by Huey Lewis in the News now.
He's got Terry Lewis in the News. Look at that.
Mom, Dad, I know you're hippies, but I want to be a Wall Street financier. Oh, sorry, long show.
Shabba-doo, what?
It's the 80s now.
What?
So his brother is now really boring.
Well, he's like Wall Street.
Yeah. But his shins are still really hairy.
Where's all the 70s crap?
Yeah.
I got a part on Bosom Buddies, Marty.
Where's the avocado? You sold out,
you're
man.
You're a fry cook.
I liked you when you were a screw-up.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I actually don't like this scene so much because it's like, good news, everybody, we're yuppies.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Okay.
It was the 80s. This was the pinnacle of yeah,
good
of
news,
success.
Marty. We've turned your family into all Alex Keatons.
It could be like, we now we're happy, but it's now we're, I mean, they are presumably
now
happy,
we're rich.
But it's like now we're materially successful. Yeah.
Yeah.
However, revenge is sweet. Mm-hmm. Now, Biff. Oh, Tom Wilson, everybody. What a character.
He got a little bit less weird and creepy when he was playing older George, which I appreciate. Although we don't get a whole lot of him, so what do we know? But
so they're still in the same crappy neighborhood they were in before. Are they the only house that's like upgraded?
I'd like to think that Hill Valley is all a little bit nicer now.
You think?
Yeah.
Nice author photo.
Yeah.
Why does the book look like an L. Ron Hubbard novel?
Well, what we don't know is George McFly has started a whole religion based around.
I was just
going to
say,
Calvin
Dad,
Klein.
Did you start a cult?
It's called Halenetics.
It's the only religion that really shreds.
Jennifer,
she's the same.
We're going to have to replace you in the next movie.
He didn't screw up her timeline.
I bet he'd like to, though.
Yeah, hey, man.
See, this bothers me because it's like, it's not his life. He's now inhabiting the life of some other Marty who's been erased by.
It's going to be kind of
more successful, Marty.
Yeah.
They're not going to have the same memories or anything of their relationship or anything because she's dated Marty with a nice truck.
Right.
Marty with a nice truck.
He probably doesn't know how to be Marty with a nice truck.
He doesn't.
Also, can he reach the pedals in that truck?
I love that gold whatever that is robe.
Yeah. Biofuel.
I love this part,
Mr. Fusion.
Future wear.
Miller High Life.
Hey, it's more Miller High Life, the champagne and beers. So,
banana peels, beer, and the thing that gets me about this, and the beer can all go in. Do you really need some aluminum for the fusion reaction? I don't think so.
But notice he's very picky about which garbage to pick, too.
It's a composting nuclear reactor.
Yeah. He could have taken the natural light can out of there, but he went straight for the Miller High Life.
I would totally wear that shirt, though.
That's a great line. It's your kids, Marty. It paints him into a corner plot-wise for the sequel, but...
Yes.
We're
going, we don't need roads.
Yes.
Yeah, you can see the matte lines. It's not that great a shot, but it's so amazing.
It flies!
Yay!
Woo! Yay, Huey Lewis! Woo!
Gotta get back in time.
Nothing lets you leave the theater with a bigger smile on your face than Huey Lewis and the News.
That's right.
Playing you out.
I'm chair dancing.
Billy
I don't
Zane
care about the rest
was
of
one
you.
Of the thugs.
It's a good song. I love
it. Wait, who was Billy Zane in
He's
there?
He's one of Biff's thugs.
Thugs. Oh, I don't
Yes. He'll be back in Titanic being the same thug. Character.
Was he 3D glasses guy?
I don't think so.
Casey Simashko.
Yeah, who's that?
That's the 3D glasses guy.
Is it? He has the
All
3D
I know is that
guy.
Smedley is the lead person on this picture.
Except no substitutes for lead person.
Dangerous Bob Wyden.
Back in time.
Smedley!
Darcy Weber, I am your father.
It's a pretty good movie. I think it holds up.
It's still a great movie.
It's a very good movie.
It holds up totally, 100%.
It's a just enough of a time travel complication to be fun without overdoing it or making it too complicated like
DeLorean
many time travel
time
stories
can travel
be
consultant
and DeLorean construction coordinator, of course.
Yeah, I think this is one of the movies I would be really upset if they tried to remake it because it's so good the way it is. They're not going to make it better.
That's right. A good point. Yeah.
Which supposedly will never happen, at least in our, well, in the lifetimes of Zemeckis. He said he owns the rights to this, and he said he won't authorize a remake. So,
good.
Because it would have been done by now,
if they
probably.
Wanted to do something, they could do a continuation where they, you know, they go back and, you know, somebody else goes back in time to the 80s or something like that. I mean, you could do a story
it's,
like
it's
this.
It's Marty's kids.
But you would be had to be, a continuation and not a... just something different. We're using the same stuff, but I think why not leave it? Right? It's really good.
Why not leave it is a phrase that has never been said in Hollywood.
I know. Well, I mean, I think that's why we're Robert Zemeckis having some control over the rights. Maybe is the thing that prevents it from happening.
Skinhead, played by Jeffrey J. Cohen, huh?
Match Billy Zane.
Hey, remember Jason Hervey?
One of my favorite genres of movie that came out of the 80s was the special effects sci-fi comedy. You know, you had Ghostbusters, and then you had Back to the Future, and back-to-back summers, and it was like that. And suddenly, everybody realized, oh, we could do these comedies with the special effects and the sci-fi plot and all that, and put it all together. It's like, yes, you should. Mm-hmm. You should do that. Those are good movies.
You should. People will watch them.
People will. People will.
There's a Lindsay Buckingham song.
Town.
Yep. Time Bomb Town, of course.
I know it well because I have the tape.
Along with the Fess Parker Ballad of Davy Crockett. That's classic.
He was the king of the wild frontier.
Yep. Big soundtrack.
Marvin
Not
Barry
all of these are on the soundtrack.
Starlighters.
Earth Angels on the soundtrack. Yeah.
Performed by Marvin Barry and the Starlighters.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. It's like the same people who did the Marty McFly singing, which is not original soundtrack available on MCA Records and cassettes. That's right, people, cassettes. Ooh. They're coming back.
What now? The future.
The Honeymooners.
Well, see, I only know what a cassette is because I just saw one in use in this crazy film.
Yeah.
I know what a cassette is because I ran across my copy of The Return of Bruno the other day.
Well, I think we are reaching the end. There's only a few more seconds left to go before we have to say goodbye.
Let's wind it back, Marty!
Thanks for being incomparable members, and thanks to my wonderful friends for watching this fun movie together. It's a lot of fun. We had Gene McDonald. Thanks, Gene.
It was super fun. Thanks for watching it with me.
Aline Sims, thanks.
Thank you.
Steve Lutz, thank you.
You are so very welcome, and thank you for having me.
And David J. Lohr.
Thank you, as always.
We gotta go back to the future, Marty!